And is to start the recording.
The recordings have been started. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome to everyone for our 15 July council meeting. Glenn, would you please do a roll call?
Certainly, Chuck. On the call for the contracted parties house, we have Chuck Gomes, Caroline Greer, Adrian Kinderis, and Stefan van Gelder will be a bit late joining the call. Tim Ruiz is not on. Edmund Chan has just joined.
Yep. Hello.
Terry Davis.
Here.
Zaid Jamil will be absent. He sent his apologies. Mike Rodenbach, not on the call. Christina Rosette is absent, has sent her apologies. David Taylor?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Yes, hello together.
Jamie Wagner?
Yeah.
Rafik Damak? Rafik is on the call. I think he might be on mute.
Yes.
Bill Drake will be absent. He sent his apologies. Deborah Hughes?
Good morning.
Wendy Seltzer?
Yes, thank you.
Rosemary Sinclair?
Here.
Mary Wong will be late joining the call. Olga Cavelli?
Present here.
Andrei Koleshnikov?
I'm here. Good morning.
Han Chan Lui?
Yes.
The observer from the CCNSO. And for staff, we have Ken Bauer, Rob Hogarth, David Olive, Marika Koenig, Patrick Jones, Julie Headland, Margie Milam, Craig Schwartz, and Lisa Pfeiffer, who will be our guest for the Who Is. And Tim Ruiz has just joined the call now. Thank you, Chuck. Over to you.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate it. Now it's time to update any statements of interest, and once again, I will start it off with a declaration that I've made in the last two meetings. This time it's in regard to item 7, the resolution on new GTLD string similarity evaluation. Again, just noting that VeriSign will be submitting proposals for multiple IDN versions .com and .net, so we certainly have an interest in this particular one, so I want to make that clear right up front. Does anyone else need to update a statement of interest? Okay, hearing no one, and I will go on then to the agenda. Any suggested changes to the agenda or questions on the agenda? All right. Let's go on then to the status of the minutes. My understanding is the minutes will be approved today automatically after the edits that were made, as suggested. I think it was by Bill. So those will be posted either later today or tomorrow from the previous meeting on 23 June in Brussels. Going on then to item 2, the prioritization of GNSO work. Posted ratings are there. Our purpose today on this agenda item is not to finish this particular issue because it'll take us more time, but at least to have some discussion in terms of what we've learned and hopefully zero in on how we want to proceed in terms of evaluating the process that we used this first time and possibly make improvements to it going forward. So in that regard, let me start by asking Ken if he would go over the questions that were raised by the drafting team with regard to this particular agenda item.
This is Ken. Good morning. Yes, I looked up a set of questions, Chuck. I think these are the ones you may be referring to. This was back from a meeting we had in December. The first of them was, are the objectives clear? Have we satisfactorily answered why are we doing this activity? Second one was, does the process make sense in terms of leading to the stated objectives? Third, does the methodology require accepting any assumptions that have not been disclosed? Four, are the instructions, guidelines, and definitions clear and sensible? And lastly, if tools are provided, do they work as described?
And Ken, in addition, I think we also, if my memory is correct, talked about questions related to the how we would use this information. Do you recall what I'm talking about there?
I went looking. You captured that in the evaluation questions, lessons learned, areas for improvement, how do we use the ratings, and then suggestions for next steps. I didn't find any other specific questions
okay.
other than that general one.
Okay, that's helpful. So let's just take a few minutes then and capture for our minutes some of the thoughts that people had with regard to the process. Again, we're not going to try and complete this today because we have too many things on the agenda. But what are some lessons learned, possible areas for improvement, and ideas for how we could use the ratings just as an initial discussion as a last sub-item under this topic? We will talk spend a few minutes talking about how we go forward in terms of doing a more complete evaluation and deciding how to use the ratings. Anyone want to get in the queue? I see Wendy.
Thank you. I want to thank everyone who put a lot of time into creating this rating process, but I don't think it was a useful way of prioritizing, and I don't think we learned a tremendous amount about priorities from the values that came out of this, and so I would recommend cutting our losses and not proceeding further with the output from this prioritization.
Thank you, Wendy. Anybody else like to be in the queue on that particular topic?
It's Adrian Kinderis. I'd like to be in the queue.
Go ahead, Adrian.
Excuse me. Sorry. I thank Wendy for teeing off early. I've been somewhat of a critic of the process up until now, and reluctantly I do support Wendy's comments. I just think this is whilst I think it absolutely has the best intentions, and I think that everybody has tried really hard. I just don't see that it's accomplishing what we need to do in a timely fashion. I don't want to be overcritical, but I don't know that we're going to be any closer than had we have just back of envelope had a half hour session on this at a council call sometime early on in the process. Whether we would be too far off, I think the science we're applying is appropriate, but this is just a difficult beast, and I just don't know that. Any spending any more effort on it is going to make it any more clear or inevitably result in any a better prioritization of the work that is in front of us. Thank you.
Thanks, Adrian. Rosemary.
Yes, it has been a difficult process, and I must say when I left our discussion of this in Brussels, my head was absolutely spinning with concepts of how do you value something and can you apply such a metric to a process that's already started, and we had some difficulty with that, people trying to figure out if something's almost finished, do we prioritize it amongst things that are just getting going. When I was preparing for the meeting tonight, I actually had a look at what we came up with from a bit of distance, I guess, from time. And funnily enough, at a very macro level, I think what we're telling ourselves is that getting GNSO improvement and processes and so on has a high priority to us. What we're not able to do is prioritise between the next bunch of policy matters, which are all ranked about four or so. But at the end of that, we're still left, it seems to me, with the core issue that we were trying to address, which is how do we manage the workload that's coming at the council and is then being passed to staff. So if this isn't the tool that we use for actually getting that workload under control, I still think we've got the problem and we're going to have to find another way of managing our workload to a sensible level for ourselves and for the staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosemary. Jamie.
Well, I would like to add that the drafting team always remembers that the actual managerial and practical application of these first steps would require another step. The point is the point that we should evaluate is not. This first step was not intended to solve the managerial aspects and to appoint any guidance to workload management. What became very clear to the drafting team is that it would be necessary other steps after the prioritization work exercise was done, and we pointed out what these should be. I think what we should consider is if that indication of proceeding with the work is worthwhile or not. I think to say that this first step was not enough or not sufficient is not an indication that the work should not proceed. But I still have doubts if it should proceed or not, and if so, in which way. But what I would like to say is that saying that this first step was not enough and not sufficient is not an argument to discard the work ahead. And also, I would say that there is some value in this first step, and I would say that this is to make everybody aware of the work that is being done, the work that is not being done, the work that is suspended. I think a degree of common awareness was increased, and also the degree of dissent among us was very is in front of us. So I think this is something. It's not enough. It's not, but it is something. But I still have doubts if the work should proceed and in which direction.
Thank you, Jamie. Olga, you're next.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. I would like to support what Jamie said. I won't repeat. We went through a different, a very variety of options in our drafting team, and it's interesting to mention that after the exercise we did, some council members came to me and made some comments about possible improvements that we could do to this process. So instead of saying we don't do this and it's not useful, maybe perhaps we can improve it with the input from other council members. So it has been an interesting process because we tried different things and we came up with this tool. that perhaps could be enhanced. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Olga. David.
Thank you very much, Chuck, Olga, and others on the call. I would just like to express a staff point of view. I understand council members have been commenting, and I've been listening to their comments. In our view, the work prioritization to date has been very important and informative for us as well as staff. Council, I think, needs to look at a two-step process from our view. The first step is you know, the small team can improve the process used to date, adding others who might want to add their expertise. And I think Olga has indicated something of this as well to make the process go forward. Secondly, I think the council needs to discuss how to manage the workload based on this, and Jamie was talking a little bit about this, and I appreciate it. Staff is particularly interested in this because we feel that we are at, you know, a capacity of a workload that is quite high, and this not only reflects our workload, but I think since we work closely with the community, affects the burden and the capacity of community inputs and community members who are volunteering their time and effort as well on a variety of issues. And so I think this provides information, and we'll try to provide another report as well as a rough estimate of the staff resources being used to support each of the working groups, which again reflect both our efforts and the community efforts. And that might help guide the council as how to balance the workload going forward. We see a lot of other new efforts coming along related to cross-constituency support with the GNSO in the lead in some cases, but working with others. And so I think this is an important first step and can be an important next step to guiding the council in its prioritization and management of the issues going forward. And I just like to add those views from the staff who have been helpful in the work team's efforts, and we appreciate their hard work and the council's effort here as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Wolf, you're next.
Yeah, thanks. I would like to support continue to prioritize our work. The question is how and whether we should follow the method we have developed in the past, or how we could, let me say, facilitate that or make it easier for all of the members of the council to make those steps. That's the one thing. The other thing I would like to say is, if we look back and what is our target with the prioritization is, and how I understood is that it's not something which we only do for the council itself. Well, that's the first step. But we have also to look at that our work is our work fits to the overall ICANN workload, community workload. That means we have to link it as well to the together with that what staff and ICANN is doing or should do. We would like to have that staff would follow our priorities as well in the future. So that means we have also to link it to the ICANN staff workload and to the future budget work to be done with regard to the ICANN budget. So I would like really to see in the future that we follow a way to prioritize our work, and maybe we could start again. It came to my mind again that the way we did it right now was may have been too complicated, and we should find a more simple way to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf. As you may notice, I put myself in the queue to talk on this. First of all, a general comment, and then a question for Wendy and Adrian, just a short answer question. the one of the things I observed, and I did that, I was on the drafting team, and I made this comment there. One of the conclusions I came to as we worked through this issue and this particular approach was is that what it really comes down to when a new project comes up is, do we have the resources to do it, both staff resources and community resources? And a classic example of that, a recent one too, is the VEI working group. All things considered, we wouldn't even have considered that that working group if we looked at everything that was on our plate, but we had tons of resources to do it. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's plenty of staff resources to do it, but I just point that out. Secondly, my question, and just a quick answer is all I'm really looking for from Wendy and Adrian. Are you suggesting that you don't even think we should try to prioritize our work, or that you're opposed to this particular process of prioritizing our work? And since Adrian's in the queue already, I will ask him to answer first, and then if Wendy would answer, I'd appreciate that.
Chuck, can you hear me?
I do, yes.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you, Chuck. Thanks for the opportunity to respond. If you cast your mind back to the original Thursday wind-down session, it was me that came, you know, that was discussing, once you were voted in, about that prioritization was a very important fact of what we do, part of what we do. So I am 100% behind the fact that we need to prioritize our work. We have a ridiculous amount of work on, and prioritize and cull would be my suggestion in going forward. So to summarize or to try to respond to your question more directly, I believe we should be prioritizing. I am not convinced that the methodology we have chosen to go forward with is the most appropriate nor efficient methodology.
Thank you very much, Adrian. And did that, was that the comment you wanted to make? Because you had your hand up before I asked.
Actually, I have my hand up to, I just wanted to hear your opinion on what the prioritization was as chair, if you wouldn't mind sharing that at an appropriate time.
I will. Thanks, Adrian. Wendy.
Yes, I very much echo what Adrian said. I think we need to prioritize our work, and we need to budget the types of trade-offs that we make taking on new work and choosing among the projects that we're given. I don't think that the method that we tried was effective for that. Yeah, well-intentioned and well-researched as it was, I simply don't think it worked in our context.
Thank you very much, and that's what I was looking for there. And Adrian, in response to your question, and we're out of time on this one, so we're going to have to talk about next steps in our next meeting. So I would ask each of you to be thinking about that, talk with your various groups in terms of this, in terms of how maybe to proceed, because we still have the task of having more on our plate than can properly be managed, and certainly we've stretched staff's resources probably beyond their capacity, and they've responded admirably, but it's still a challenge. So please be thinking about that. Yeah, I don't disagree with a lot of the comments that have been made. I do think this exercise, and probably come up with a better way than what we did to prioritize them. But as we come to decisions in the next few months, whether to add work, the results of that we have could be used to decide whether to call a project, to put one on hold or whatever in order to replace it with another one, or even to decide not to add another one. Now, we went to an awful lot of effort just to get this information, so it could very well be that there's a better way to do it. So, again, I repeat, Adrian, in response to your question of the chair's opinion, that, you know, when it really comes down to it, when we're going to evaluate a project, we're going to check to see if both staff and community resources are available, and if they are, and it's a high priority, we're probably going to proceed. So was it worth all this effort? I don't know. I think the information we have can be used by us as we look at new projects, but I'll leave it at that. And I've got Jamie in the queue, and I'm going to close this off after Jamie Please be brief, Jamie, because we're over time on this item. And next time, we will talk about how maybe we should proceed in on this topic. Jamie.
I would like only to add that it's a good idea to if this is not the way to proceed, it is a good, it's a something, it is a start. Now we have a consensus or a medium of what the all the council thinks it is the purpose. And this can be used by the chair in, to help some decisions that he will he may have to take. And also, I think it's helpful to the staff, as was said before. But what I would ask to Wendy and Adrian, that are the most critics of the process, of the way, and since they are not, they both think that we should proceed, I think it's quite a good idea to come up with some suggestions of how to do things and not of only of suggestion of how not to do things. And I would very much appreciate a suggestion, a positive suggestion from both. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. And I'm going to cut it off there because we're over time on this by quite a bit, and we have a lot to cover. But great discussion. This is what we needed to talk about. And everybody's comments, I think, are useful. But please try to come to the next meeting with some ideas of how maybe we could do it differently, and how we would use the information we have right now. Even though we maybe didn't like the process, we do have some information that possibly we could use in making decisions about initiating work in the next few months. Going on then to item number three, the GNSO Affirmation of Commitments Review Team endorsements. And we have two review teams in front of us, the Security, Stability, Resiliency, the SSR review team, and the WHOIS Policy Review Team. Hopefully all of you have seen there have been quite a few applications. We have the application period ends today, and it's looking like I think in both cases we're going to have some applicants from each stakeholder group. I haven't checked that in detail yet, but it looks like we're pretty close to having that. And so we have a process that we approved in Brussels. What I'd like to ask Margie to do is to just do a very brief review of that process so we know what's in front of us between now and the end of August.
Okay, Chuck, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I'm going to review the process. This is the process that was approved by the GNSO Council. Obviously, the first step is for persons to submit their application information, and I won't go into that step. That's currently underway for the two review teams. The deadline for both of them is the 15th of July, so that triggers a series of activities on the GNSO Council side, and the first being that the stakeholder groups need to, no later than 21 days after the deadline for applications, inform the Council of their endorsements based on their own procedures. So that 21-day period would mean that you'd need to get back to the Council by August 5th. The procedures that are delineated in the process are that each stakeholder group can endorse one applicant to serve as a representative in a given review team, and the stakeholder group can choose an applicant that's been endorsed by another stakeholder group, although that might mean that ultimately there would be fewer than four nominees from the GNSO Council that are endorsed. Alternatively, the stakeholder group could choose not to endorse an applicant from the available pool. And then, again, that might mean that there are less than four endorsed nominees. The stakeholder group could choose to – is also encouraged to identify in its internal deliberations one or two additional candidates that it could support in the event that the diversity procedures are not satisfied. And the process actually includes some consideration for diversity objectives. Essentially that no more than half of the GNSS nominees should come from the same geographic region. That's one of the principles. And the other principle is that the GNSO nominees should not be of the same gender. And so when the endorsements are sent to the council will review them at its next telephone conference. Chuck, do you have a question, Chuck?
No, I'm fine.
Oh, I was hearing some echo, so I apologize. And if the the list doesn't meet those diversity objectives, then the council as a whole can choose to endorse up to two additional candidates from the applicant pool that would help provide balance in consideration of these diversity requirements or suggestions. And in that case, the council would support that vote with a need to support it with a 60% vote. And if no candidate receives that level of support, then the original endorsement from the stakeholder group would be deemed final and forwarded to ICANN. And so that's essentially the procedure.
Thank you, Margie. And that 60% vote is 60% of each house. So so what we have in front of us, we have a deadline of the end of August to present the GNSO endorsements to the selectors. Rod and Heather, and we have two meetings in front of us. We have one on the 5th of August and one on the 26th of August. It would be very helpful in our 5 August meeting if we have an idea whether we have a diversity need or not. Now, just if you've watched the applications that have been submitted, you'll see that we have heavy North American influence, so geographic diversity is not going to be the greatest in the world. We have good gender diversity on the Who Is one. We have no gender diversity on the Security and Stability, unless that changes today. And keep in mind that we can't create diversity if we don't have applicants to do it. So we only have the applicant pool to deal with, okay? So we may not be able to do anything about gender diversity in the SSR review team. So the key between this meeting and our August 5th meeting is for stakeholder groups to do the best they can to try and identify not only your primary endorsement, but any other candidates that you would support if the council decides to try and improve diversity. Does anybody have any questions? Before I go to the queue, and I have two people in the queue, does anybody have any questions about what the task is before us? Rather than if you would either raise your hand or in Adobe or just speak up. I don't see anyone or hear anyone, so
yeah,
go ahead.
That's a question. Yeah, that's one of my questions, actually.
Okay, David, go ahead.
Sure. Just checking on that, since the candidature deadline is today, the 15th, and under the resolution, we had until we gave 21 days for SGs to evaluate the candidates, that takes to the 5th of August, but he were requesting endorsements by the 28th of July. That was something which we'd been discussing about that a lot of pressure to get it in time, and can it be the 5th or the 3rd of August or something like that? So we're not actually violating the resolution we've adopted.
Right. The reason I did that, David, as you I think you know, is if possible, that would meet our 8-day advance notice requirement for the meeting. Now, we can always make exceptions to that 8-day requirement, and we have done that in the past. We probably will in this case, because Wolf has certainly expressed concern from the CSG in terms of being able to do that. So, yeah, you know, if we find out on the 5th what the SG endorsements are just before our meeting, That's not a serious problem, I don't think. If we can find out sooner, it helps us, I think, because we can think it through a little bit more in advance. We'll need the second meeting, then if we do decide to deal with diversity, we'll need that time after the 5th and then culminating on the 26th to finalize our endorsements. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, thanks. No, thanks, Chuck. I can see where it's coming from. As a practical solution, would aiming for the 3rd be realistic to go back to the CSG in that?
I think that's good. Any time before the 5th that they can be communicated, it gives all of us a chance to a little bit of time to think it through and then to talk with our various groups before we actually meet on the 5th.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
You're welcome. Wolf.
Yes, thank you. So I would like just to support what David was saying. So and targeting that date he was mentioning is coming from the CSG. And in addition, my question is, since today is deadline, and to my knowledge, we have received so far 8 applications, if that is correct. Could somebody just explain how that is split? How many to the for the WHOIS? How many to for the SS part? So just to get a picture of that, what we have at the time being. So we tried in addition as well, and I assume all the other stakeholder groups as well. To interest people, to make interest people for applying for that, but as I can see, the result until today is relatively poor. So that's what I would like to mention.
Thank you, Wolf, and I think there are more than 8 total now. I believe the last I saw in security, there were at least 4. And I think there are more than that in WHOIS. Unfortunately, because of the time of this meeting on the West Coast and the people who update that page are on the West Coast, so it's still, very early in the day here, the site itself isn't updated. Glenn, do you have a count on how many? Because a few came in, I thought at least 2 more and 1 revision that came in today, or at least one new one today, and then 1 revision that included the GNSO information on the SSR team today. Glenn?
Yes, Chuck, this is Glenn. On the WHOIS, we had 1 more today from Suzanne Kawaguchi.
Right.
She is also from the United States, and she falls under the GNSO, and she is under the Commercial and Business Users constituency. As far as the security team is concerned, there has been a revision about Rodney Joffe, because he, in fact, applied for 2 supporting organizations, the CCNSO and the GNSO. The CCNSO was his first choice, so the review team organizers have asked him to withdraw his GNSO application because it is not within the bounds for the GNSO. So he might still decide to run for the GNSO and not for the CCNSO. We don't know. But since the CCNSO was his first decision, he might also be withdrawn. And then today there were, in fact, there was another, just let me bring that up very quickly. That was all, no. And then we just had George Saki, who revised his documents, and he has now provided the adequate documents for the security.
And so, Glenn, where are we at? Understanding that
so we at one
maybe today.
Okay, so we at 5 for the WHOIS, and we are for the security if Rodney removes his application for the GNSO.
And why is it that he was asked not to do it the way he did? I didn't understand that.
Because in the application says that he can only apply for either the GNSO under the CCNSO. And his first choice was the CCNSO.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right.
So we've got four for the security if Rodney removes his. Otherwise, there will be five if he stays in. And we have five for the who is. Do you want me to run through the names?
No, not that. I don't think we need to do that right now. The site will be updated today for each group.
Absolutely.
And more importantly, it'll be updated tomorrow, and that'll be the final slate.
Yes.
Cases. Now, am I correct, Glenn, that in the case of security, they're all North American, except for the except for one, which is from Ghana, from Africa.
From Ghana, that's right. Yes.
And then in the case of who is, are they all North American except for one from Europe? Did I remember that right?
Yes, indeed, you remember that right, Chuck.
Okay, so that's where we stand. So that's what we're going to have to work with. The key then, after today, once all the applications are final, is for the stakeholder groups to quickly get their, work on their endorsement process. And I will be very happy if by the 3rd of August we get the endorsements. If you can get them sooner, great. Let's just do the best we can. We may want to suggest going forward, we don't need to deal with this now, that a little more time be allocated for the SO and AC endorsements. Right now I think it's at 45 days, and as we have found out here, it'd be nice to have another week or so for us to do our processes. But we can deal with that in terms of overall process for the AOC going forward. David, did you still have your hand up? David Taylor? Apparently not. Okay. So.
Yeah, but.
All right. So any questions or any further discussion? Okay, so I really appreciate the stakeholder groups getting on this, and as soon as we finalize the applications today, then we will move forward and decide on the 5th whether it looks like we want to add any. Now, we could be done on the 5th if we decide that we can improve geographic diversity, but we have that additional meeting on the 26th to do so if needed. Okay, not seeing any other hands or hearing any questions, let's go on to item 4 on who is studies. We're at a point where we have budgeted funds of at least $400,000 that have been approved for who is studies for this fiscal year, which runs through next June. And we have some information. There are a lot of links there that have the information. Lisa, I appreciate the opportunity for you to join us today and for the work that you've done behind the scenes in working with Liz and others to help us and provide information for us on these studies. I'd like to turn it over to you now, and I see your presentation is on the screen, for a brief overview of the study choices.
All right, very good. Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Chuck. As Chuck mentioned, I have been working with Liz Gaster to draft a set of four Who Is studies, I know that they have been presented to you in the past. What I've been asked to do this morning is give a brief overview of the studies to set the stage for further discussion. These studies being intended to inform who is policy development efforts by providing a comprehensive, objective, and measurable understanding of several key issues regarding the who is system. At this council's request, we drafted four requests for proposals in order to research the cost and feasibility of studying those areas. The areas are shown on this chart, and I will return back to the chart for the discussion portion of this agenda item. But briefly, I know that earlier this spring, Liz supplied council with a status report. The status report is actually the first item linked to the agenda. Status report outlining our progress to date on these four proposed study areas. The first is a Who Is Misuse study designed to assess the extent, nature, and impact of harmful actions like spam phishing and identity theft taken using Who Is public contact information. The second is the Who Is Registrant Identification Study, and that is designed to explore how often and why domains used by commercial entities or for commercial purposes are not clearly identified as such in Who Is, and how often such domains are registered by privacy and proxy services. The third study that we've defined is a Who Is Privacy and Proxy Abuse Study, and it's designed to measure how often domain names associated with illegal or harmful communication actually abuse privacy and proxy services in order to, in some way, obscure the perpetrator's identity. The fourth study is the Who Is Privacy and Proxy Reveal study, and that's currently under development, and it's designed to analyze relay and reveal requests for privacy proxy registered names in order to measure delays and failures. Now, I know that Liz has explained in previous presentations we used an RFP approach in order to evaluate the cost and feasibility of these studies. Bids have already been received and evaluated for the first two of these study areas. Bids are due this month, actually next week, for the third study area. And then the fourth study area is currently in draft form undergoing review prior to RFP posting. We are aiming for posting that later this month.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Now, let me see if I'm correct on this. So as of right now, we have two studies one and two, where we have information to make decisions, except for information about the other studies, which indirectly relates as well to which ones we would choose. And the third study, how long do you think it will take to once the RFP period closes and you have that information to come back with a staff report and recommendations on that?
That's a good question, Chuck. I hate to actually make a commitment on Liz's behalf, but I can tell you that it took us, I would say, approximately 3 weeks to review the previous proposals on the two studies that we had received responses for, to receive review the proposals, apply the selection criteria, and then come up with a consolidated view.
And when does the RFP period end, or has it already ended?
It ends on the 20th of July.
So it'll be at least 3 weeks after that. So we're talking about at the soonest our August 26th meeting before we'll have that information. So with that in front of us, then we have. And number four really is being handled via another community working group, or certainly an FSAC and GNSO working group with other participants. Welcome. So what we really have in the near term are three studies, one, two, and three, to consider. And we could possibly do, depending on the cost estimates of study three, we could possibly do all three of them in this fiscal year, because the first two are estimated to be $150,000 each. So let me see if there are any questions or comments. Let's not get into the motion yet, but are there any questions or comments of Lisa regarding the Who Is Studies information that she shared? Not hearing or seeing any. So we now do have a motion on the table, and I appreciate the Mike for making the motion and the BC for putting one forward to at least get our thinking started on this, because each of the first two studies are estimated to take approximately a year. So the sooner we would get any studies we select going, the better, so that they can reach completion not too soon after this fiscal year. So on the motion, we have a motion before us made by Mike Rodenbaugh and seconded by Terry Davis. So let's is Mike on the call now?
No, not yet, Chuck. Stefan has joined in the meantime.
Okay. Welcome, Stefan. And Terry, Terry's on the call, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Terry, would you read the motion? You don't necessarily have to read the, unless somebody particularly wants it, I don't think you need to read all the whereases. But if you could read the resolution, and if there are any particular whereases you think are particularly pertinent, you could read those. But I think the most important thing is the resolution part of the motion.
Yeah, I'll just read the resolution. The council requests ICANN staff to proceed with the Who Is Ms. Hughes study as described in staff's 23 March 2010 report, using the vendor selection process described in annex of that same report.
Okay. It's a fairly simple motion. Let me open it up for discussion, and I see Tim.
Yeah, actually, my question relates back to the last study RFP, and just maybe I missed it, but I was just wondering if there was some idea as to when that might be, when we might expect to see some analysis of the RFP responses to that one.
To study three, Tim?
To the final study, number four.
Oh, the Who Is Service Requirements. I don't think an RFP has been done on that. That is or am I wrong on that, Lisa?
Yeah, you are. Actually, the fourth study I believe that Tim's referring to is the Reveal study. That
right.
Is underway. Yes. So we're currently working on a draft of that. We've made substantial progress on it, but we are still refining it. If we are able to complete review and achieve what we feel is a satisfactory draft to put out for RFP this month, that would take approximately 60 days for responses to be received, and then let's say another month to complete the selection process. So that would be 90 days from the end of this month.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Tim?
Yes, it does. Yeah, I guess I'm a little, I guess I would favor waiting until we have all the results on these RFPs before we would try to analyze which of these studies we want to go forward and be able to compare the costs of each and you know, perhaps make some sort of informed decision about what makes sense to pursue based on costs in relationship to each other. But that would be my preference.
The one drawback I see in that, and normally that makes a lot of sense, and in this particular case, if we're talking towards the end of the year before even making a decision on starting any study, so we're deferring all of them. Obviously, none of them will get done as soon if we do that. But that's a decision we can make. Caroline.
Thanks, Chuck. So the registries, stakeholder group, we've been reviewing all the information over the last while or so, and we've had a lot of discussion about it, but our feeling is that we would like to request a deferral to this motion. We just feel that we need a little bit more time to review everything, and Liz Gaster has repeatedly extended an offer to speak to any stakeholder group who felt that they needed a bit more discussion, so we would like to take her up on that offer, and I believe an invitation has gone out to her to attend our next registry's call. So given that, we'd just like a little bit more time, and as I said, we'd like to defer the motion if possible. Thanks.
Okay, and we have a practice of deferring motions at least one meeting if any councillor requests that. So we will put this motion on hold until the next meeting with that request, and it will come up again then on the 5th of August. Now, what I would ask though is that people, and I know some of you are prepared to vote on this motion today based on discussion I've seen on the list, but please come prepared to vote on that motion one way or the other on the 5th. And also, in the meantime, if there is, for example, study 2, if somebody thinks that one's ready to go and there's support for it, somebody could make a motion to start it, or we can follow Tim's suggestion and just wait until we have all of this information in front of us. So please come prepared on the 5th to discuss that. Wendy.
Thanks. Since the motion's been deferred, I'll just very briefly put on the record my comments from the list that I think this study, despite the work that's gone into it, still doesn't look to me as though it will produce sort of scientifically and statistically valid results, and so I would not budget money for that. I also want to endorse Tim's recommendation that we wait until all of the studies are keyed up so that we can properly prioritize among those rather than using budget on one that's maybe less effective in the end. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy. David.
Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, I'd agree with Tim and agree with Wendy on that one. Certainly to wait until we've got all of the RFP results. And on this third one, if we can get that by the 26th of August, we may be in a position then at the end of August to make a decision. And if for any reason we can't and we do think we need to go ahead with one or two studies, could we make sure that we keep funds back to be able to do all three of these if we do want to do all three of them? That's my only client.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I think one of the things obviously we could do if we, for example, decided earlier to go ahead and start one study if there was support for it, we could do that. And if it's one or two, we know that there's still that only would use up $150,000 and probably not even that full amount because of the fact that we're going to be starting these later in the fiscal year. Thank you, David. Stefan.
Thanks, Chuck. I just want to thank the registries for deferring this motion, giving us more time on it. I think the registrars as well feel that we still don't really understand why we should commit some significant costs to these studies. So I think it will be very useful to have that extra time, and maybe we can extend the invitation that or the request that the registries have asked of Liz to the registrars as well, so that we can get a better explanation of why some of these studies are really necessary, considering the costs involved. And I assume those are costs that could be applied to other things. So I think that's something that we really need to consider. In an extra 3 weeks will probably be... it may not even be enough time for us to come to a conclusion on that, but at least it will give us more of a chance to look at that. So thanks for doing that.
Okay. And please don't expect staff, though, to be able to justify whether we should do these or not, because that's not their role, and we probably shouldn't put them in that spot. They can probably answer our questions with what regarding the hypotheses and so forth. And whether those can be hopefully tested in a valid way. So thank you very much. Terry.
I couldn't get my mute off. I was just, the note I sent yesterday to the council, it happens to be that Aaron is also studying Who Is right now for a different reason, but... it seems like there would be quite a bit of synergy probably between that. And some of the initial stuff just coming back looks to show that we do have a significant problem with the Who Is databases. So for those of you that want to, on the Aaron PPML list, that's one of the major, continues to be one of the major discussion items today. I think there's about 15 posts overnight. So...
Thank you. Thank you, Terry. All right. So we will look at that motion and any other motions that are put forward. And by the way, if somebody wants to put forward a motion to delay consideration of any studies, that's a possible motion too. I'm not necessarily advocating that personally, but that's a possibility as well. Just remember, motions are due 8 days in advance of August 5th. So thank you very much on that. We are still running a little bit behind time, so let's move on to item 6, which is the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group Final Report that we spent quite a bit of time on in a couple sessions, at least two or three sessions in Brussels. And again, we're not going to have time today to make any final decisions on how to proceed with the RAP working group recommendations, but I at least wanted us to again take a look briefly at the summary of the recommendations that Marika will present for us, and then see if there are any questions, and start thinking about and talking about a plan for evaluating those recommendations and moving forward in some ways. Marika, would you please present your summary?
Chuck, this is Marika, but I think it's actually vertical integration that's first on the agenda.
Yes, say the same thing.
Was that you, Glenn?
Yes, Marika and I both said the same thing. It's vertical integration next on the agenda, item 5, Chuck.
Oh, my mistake. My mistake. I skipped right down. I was trying to pick up that time, see? So, all right. Thank you very much. My apologies.
Let me just ask, has anyone seen Jamie's request for a dialogue?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Wendy, for calling that to our attention. All right, item 5, Vertical Integration PDP Working Group, and this is really just an update, and so everybody's aware of the timeline on this. So instead of Marika, let me turn it over to Margie for the a brief progress report.
Sure, and then, you know, the group has been working very diligently, lots and lots of meetings, but we're still not at the point of really having consensus. What the group is working on at this point is trying to publish an initial report tomorrow or Monday. And that initial report is going to be a little unusual in the sense that it's not going to have recommendations, but it will have a list of proposals that have been discussed. There was a poll conducted yesterday on people's viewpoints of those proposals. So there'll be some indication of the initial level of support. But it really is a very rough draft in terms of what you would expect from an initial report. The reason that they're publishing on Monday or Friday is because we're trying to work backwards from the board retreat, meaning that we'd like to get to a final report to release to the GNSO Council sometime end of August so that action can be taken quickly by the GNSO Council. Actually, the council date we're focusing on is the August 26th date. So working back from that date, we want to have a final report done by August 18th. So it's a very short time frame to produce a final report. The big question really is, what are the recommendations and will there be some consensus on any principles? Or proposed models. At a high level, it looks like there will be some recommendations related to the need for enhanced compliance. You heard that theme in Brussels. It looks like there's some support for adopt a strict separation requirement, that there would be an exceptions procedure. And then there seems to be a lot of discussion about an exception for a single registry, single user exception. But that's really rough at this point. And it's possible that those might not end up in the initial report because the group is actively debating these topics, and will continue to do so today as we try to finalize a document for publication in the next few days.
So, Margie, there will be 20-day public comment period starting either tomorrow or Monday. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's Mikey's goal. I imagine there's a lot of members of the working group that might be uncomfortable with that short time frame, but that's, you know, we're trying to do the very best we can because we have to take into account the fact that we need time to summarize the public comments, analyze the comments, and hopefully come up with a consensus position. But that is the goal.
And the working group will then take a look at that, at the comments and the summary and analysis, and preparing a final report or to the council by the 18th. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. They're going to continue working, twice weekly, two-hour calls, and review comments as they come in, because we're really trying to hopefully move to a consensus position quickly.
Very good, and I really compliment all the people that have spent so much time on this in a very challenging task in such a short window. So that's much appreciated. Okay, let me open it up for discussion. Any questions of Margie? I think she's covered the next steps pretty well in the timeline. So anybody like to get on the queue on this topic? Okay, and I know some of you are actively involved in that working group, so I can share direct thanks to you, but also to the two co-chairs and everyone who's spending so much time on this. Thanks very much for your efforts in that regard. All right, so we picked up some time, and we're actually just slightly ahead of schedule now as we go to item 6. The one that I jumped ahead to just a little bit ago, the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group final report. So let me now turn it over to Marika to give a brief summary of the recommendations.
Thank you very much, Chuck. So on the screen, you'll find the Chapter 11 of the final report of the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group, which basically provides an overview of the conclusions and recommendations from this group. I won't go into much great detail on this matter, as there was a detailed presentation provided in the Brussels during the Brussels meeting. A link to the slides you'll find also in the agenda. So what I would like just to focus on is grouping the different recommendations together based on the level of consensus, which might facilitate the Council's review of these. So in the report, there are 9 recommendations that have received unanimous consensus from the working group. There's one recommendation that has strong support but significant opposition. There's one split opinion, and the 4 recommendations that actually recommend the Council do nothing at this point in time, apart from monitoring the issue, and if at any point in time new information or evidence would be brought to the Council, it might reconsider those. So of the 9 recommendations that have unanimous consensus, there's one that recommends the initiation of a policy development process on the review of the UDRP in relation to cyber squatting. There's one recommendation that recommends the creation of best practices supported by ICANN resources and using a community process in relation to malicious use of domain names. One of the recommendations recommends referral of the issue of fake renewal notices to ICANN compliance staff for possible enforcement. And that recommendation actually has a conditional recommendation attached to it that, depending on the feedback received from the compliance staff, the council or the working group would reconsider the issue and depending on that, decide whether the initiation of a PDP would be appropriate on that same issue. Then in relation to Whois access, there is one recommendation asked to determine whether additional research should be done in relation to this issue and how this actually might relate to other Whois efforts that are currently ongoing. In relation to Whois access, there's also another recommendation that requests ICANN compliance to publish more data in relation to Whois access. There's also a unanimous recommendation in relation to further review and discussion in relation to the issue of cross-TLD registration scam. And then there are two more recommendations, one in relation to additional work be carried out by the GNSO and the community to create and support uniform reporting processes, and one that recommends that additional work is carried out by the GNSO and the community to create and support structured funded mechanisms for the collection and maintenance of best practices. So those were all the unanimous consensus recommendation. Then there's one recommendation that has strong support but significant opposition within the working group, which relate to a proposal for the initiation of a PDP to evaluate whether a minimum baseline of registration abuse provisions should be created. So there was one part of the group that had strong support for that, but also significant opposition in relation to that proposal. And then there was a split opinion within the working group on whether a policy development process should be initiated to investigate the appropriateness and effectiveness of how right protection mechanisms can be applied to the problem of cyber squatting in the existing GTLDs. So that's just a broad overview, and for further details, I would recommend everyone to look in the report, which provides further background on the discussion and information on these different recommendations.
Thank you, Marika. Wendy?
Thanks. Just a quick note. How many total votes were counted so that we have a baseline to judge what supported by seven means?
We need to check back in the report, but I think there were in total unanimous consensus, I think, counted 14 members that voted. So I think where we have the, for example, the split opinion, it's 7-7.
Okay.
I think
very
in relation to the strong support, significant opposition, we need to look back, but I presume it's 8-6 or 9-5, that kind of ratio.
Yeah, I remember the 14 as well, so in reading the report. So good question. Now, are you finished, Marika?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I think what Marika said is right. The working group provided us a possible natural way to proceed on the recommendations, starting with the unanimous consensus ones and then moving down the line. Is anybody opposed to approaching these recommendations in that manner? Okay. So then some of the next questions that then come up, if we just, for the first part, just focus on the unanimous recommendations of the working group, there are some of those that require starting a PDP or starting a working group for best practices, et cetera, which obviously brings us right back to agenda item 2 today, which is prioritization of our work and can we afford to add any more work at this time. So that's actually going to be maybe our first test of using the information we have from the prioritization project, if we rely on it at all, regarding, you know, whether we should initiate any additional work at this point, or should we put some markers in there? You know, for example, when we finish the GNSO improvements work, would that be a good time to initiate some of these things? Now, there are some of those recommendations, I believe, that are simpler than starting a working group. For example, asking staff to provide a little more information, that particular recommendation. So the question I have for the council right now is, okay, any ideas on how to proceed? I mean, are there two or three people that might be willing to look at these recommendations and develop some recommendations for proceeding and maybe even some motions that could be considered by the council, or do we want to just grapple with this as a whole council in future meetings? Thoughts on that? How many, I mean, in the cases of recommendations that require forming a new working group, whether it be a PDP working group or some other working group for best practices, Is there anybody on the council today, and this isn't in concrete for future, for the near future, but that thinks we should be starting any new working groups on any of these unanimous recommendations right away? Okay. Then my next question is there anyone or more individuals who would be willing to volunteer to maybe draft a proposed approach, which could include, you know, timing of when we consider forming any groups, maybe some of the recommendations could be approved right away and move into implementation if they don't require a working group started right now. Anybody willing to work on that task? Then what I would do is ask you to go back to your stakeholder groups and constituencies and see if there are any volunteers that would be willing to step forward and possibly develop some recommendations in this regard. I won't volunteer to lead an effort like that, but if there is somebody who will work on it, I'd be glad to try and assist. So, Glenn, can you prepare a message sometime after this meeting? It's not urgent that it happen this week, but just so we get a message out, to see if there's any volunteers from any of the, and doesn't have to be counselors, that would work on developing, and maybe somebody, a couple people from the working group, and if there are no other counselors willing to assist, I'll be happy to assist them. Maybe some people from the working group itself that would we could maybe map out a possible plan for council consideration in a future meeting.
I'll do that, Chuck.
Thank you. Okay, anything else on item 6? All right, going ahead then to item 7, the resolution on new GTLD string similarity evaluation. We have a motion on the table. There are some links there that hopefully everybody's reviewed. You've seen some of them in the past. Is there anyone on staff able to give a summary and analysis of the public comments?
Chuck, this is Edmund.
Hey, Edmund, can you do that?
Yeah, I can certainly do that. And the other thing is, did you want to, I don't know whether you still wanted to pass the chair to Stefan for the discussion. But
no, thanks. I forgot to write myself a reminder there. Stefan, would you take over the chair of this item?
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you very much.
Can people hear me? Is this working?
Yeah,
okay, good.
There's a bit of buzz, but we can hear you.
Okay, I'm having problems with my phone. Edmund, please go ahead.
Thank you. So I guess just very quick review. I think that we talked about this a few times. A letter was drafted, and the resolution to send the letter to Kurt to make amendments to Module 2 regarding confusingly similar strings, applying for them. So in terms of summarizing the public comments, we received three responses from the public comment period, during the public comment period, actually two of which basically support is sending in their support to sending the letter, one of which coming from the registry stakeholders group and another one coming from an individual from Bulgaria. The third one was Jeff's note, actually, rather than comment on a specific letter, just his concern generally with the process as well. So I think that the comment from Jeff can probably be taken on separately. But overall, I guess the we received a couple of supportive comments. So that's really the summary.
Thanks, Edmund. There are a couple of issues, I agree, here. Perhaps we can, just to remind everyone that Jeff is Jeff Newman. That is correct, isn't it, Edmund?
Correct.
Yeah. Perhaps we can start discussion on the actual agenda topic itself. I think you are correct in saying that Jeff's point may be a larger point and may need a separate discussion, but if people want to comment on that, then perhaps that's fine. I don't see any hands up there, so does anyone want to discuss this point?
Stefan, I just have two more points I wanted to add.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, one of which is I understand reading the motion. I don't think we really need to read the motion again. It's really just a following up of the motion that was put forward until we get the public comment period over. The other item is that I did see some discussion on the issue from Wolf, and I think Chuck has responded further. I would just wonder if there is any further concerns there. It seems to me that what Chuck mentioned has already addressed the issue raised.
Okay. I do think at this stage, I see Wolf's hands up, but I do think at this stage we have discussed this to some depth. So the motion being a proposal to open a comment period may be relatively straightforward to work on, but we'll see. Wolf?
Yeah, thank you. Well, that was so just to make it clear, so our concern was about, you know, we were not very clear what should happen after the letter would have been sent to Kurt. So we assume that then staff is going to prepare something, let me say, a kind of formulation for the DAC 4 version, which reflects the requests pointed out in the letter. And we would like to be sure that what staff is going to prepare really reflects, you know, the requirement that this is the extended review is really an exception, and that the frame conditions are very well set out in that formulation which staff is going to prepare for that. So that was our only issue then, and what I have seen from that what Chuck has sent to me, I think it satisfies our request to that. So that's what I would like to.
Yeah, just to. Just to remind people that some of the explanations and the discussion around this has been that the extended review is an exception procedure anyway. So although what you have just said is understandable, it seems to be inherent in the process itself. As you and Chuck have had discussion on this, Chuck, maybe you can come in and just clarify that point if you wish to. I would also say that the motion itself, as it stands right now, does set out a timetable and a roadmap for what would happen after the comment period.
Stefan, a correction there. You're talking about the motion we already passed for the comment period. That's not the motion that was on the table today.
Well, that's the motion on the wiki. The
comment period is over.
So which motion
are we... This is Tim. That's what my question is going to be.
Okay, so...
What is the motion?
I'm following the motion on the wiki.
Okay.
Got the wrong motion on the
Edmund.
So which, well, that's an important point then. So which motion are we looking at, should we be looking at? If the wrong motion is on the wiki.
This is a, this should be the original motion that was to send the letter to staff.
Yeah. Which you are correct. We have discussed before.
So basically the motion is really just to send the letter as discussed in the previous motion.
There's a motion we've got up now on the Adobe Connect, which is, one would hope, the correct motion. I'm trying to scroll down on my Adobe Connect here, because on the wiki it's the motion from the 10th of June that we're looking at.
This is Marika. This is a motion that I've taken from the wiki. So if someone can point me to...
That's what I was going to say. It's the same motion.
If someone can point me to where the updated language is, I can quickly pull that up.
Is that Chuck or Edmund? Is that something you can do?
Well, it was...
Because we're all looking at the wrong motion.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. So that's the part where I sort of mentioned I wasn't sure with whether we need an actual motion. It does says that in the motion previously, it says that the GNSO takes action in its meeting of July 15, 2010, regarding whether or not to send the letter. So the action item today is really to resolve on whether to send the letter.
So just to make sure I understand what you're saying, Edmund, we have a motion that has already been discussed and voted on, which proposes to send a letter, and now the discussion would be to confirm that we want to send that letter, even though the motion has already been voted on. Is that correct?
Correct. That is what I had in mind.
Why is that process necessary?
Well, Stefan, I think that we need to let staff know that this is the council. The letter's coming from the council as a whole, so you need the council endorsement of that.
Okay, so we have voted a motion to send a letter, to open a comment period to send on the letter that we proposed to send, and now we are going to discuss whether the full council approves sending the letter. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And the reason that we did the comment period was actually in response to Jeff Newman's concern about process.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt. I see Jamie in the queue, so I'll give it back to him.
Yeah. Jamie, go ahead. Jamie?
I was on mute.
Okay.
My only question is about the Jeff's comment. Will it be considered or not?
Well, Jamie, is Chuck... Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
Jamie,
yes.
Can you hear me? Yeah. As Chuck has just said, I think that we have considered Jeff's comments, and in response to that, there was a proposal to open a comment period. So I think those comments have been taken on board by the council. Is that okay for you?
It's a little bit confusing, but I think I understood now.
Okay. Jeff's comments were about procedure and the fact that the council had not put this out to the wider community before acting, and so we decided to do a public comment period. So that is in response to the points that Jeff made. Don't know if that helps. Does that help you?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Chuck.
Actually, I don't think I need to say anything now because you said it. You said it correctly. Stefan.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. Tim.
Yeah, actually, I think Jeff's comments went a little bit further, and not that maybe we need to take any action now, but I think we need to take note. His concern was that we added to the motion that putting this out for a public comment didn't necessarily commit us to doing so in the future. And so I think his concern was also that use that as an excuse not to publish appropriate materials for public comment when necessary. So I think that's just something the council can take to heart. I think it's a good point, and we just need to consider that carefully in each situation as to what needs to be published for public comment, especially if it relates to anything in regards to policy. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. I think that's helpful, and it also it may be helpful to remind people that there was some further discussion on the fact that just comment not be taken in the more general context of all the motions that we put forward. Some people felt strongly that those motions should not be delayed by systematic public comments. So that was another. I'm not going one way or the other in the discussion, which was just to highlight that point, that that was also a point of discussion that came out of Jeff's initial comment. Someone else had their hand up, and I can't remember who it was, and it's gone down now. So I think it was Edmund. But
yeah, it was me, but Tim mentioned the point I wanted to mention. Sorry.
Okay. So at this stage, the agenda mentions the motion and a vote on it, but until we have the correct motion that we're voting on, that's going to be very difficult. So once again, my question to you, Edmund, or Chuck, do we have that motion somewhere? That can be can that motion be put forward to Marika so she can put it up on the Adobe? Chuck.
So I guess we want a written formal motion. I thought we would just vote on sending the letter. But if you want just a couple of sentences, it would be whereas the GNS Council resolved on June, whenever that motion was passed, and therefore following the public comment period, we are resolving to sending the letter as mentioned in the previous motion that was passed.
Chuck, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just, Edmund covered it. Basically, it's a motion to go ahead and send the letter. That's all it is.
Okay. But has the motion been made?
It was made two or three meetings ago and amended, okay? And then it was decided to defer it until the comment period was over. So.
Okay.
So it was still made by, I think, by Edmund and seconded by Rafiq, but and Rafiq was involved in the amendment. So
we are looking at the right motion then? The one that's up on the Adobe now?
We're really not. That's a mistake.
Okay, and we don't know where that correct motion is.
Well, if you look at the intro to this motion, it tells you the original motion was discussed in the council meeting on 20 May and deferred to 10 June, and then in 10 June, there was a red line version was sent on 2nd of June, and Rafiq accepted the amendment on 4 June.
Yeah.
So that you'd have to go back to our 10 June meeting. It's that motion that we're acting.
Okay. Now, does everyone feel comfortable voting on this motion, as explained by Chuck and Edmund, the motion being to send that letter following the comment period that was opened? If not, please say so. Hearing no objections, I propose we move to vote on this. Would you, Glenn, would you please organize a vote?
Would you like a roll call vote on this,
yes.
Stefan? I'll do that.
No, I think a voice vote would be fine.
A voice. That's all right. Say A or nay.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. Sorry, hang on. Wait. Sorry.
Hold
Mary,
on.
Do you want to speak?
Yes, may I? Briefly, I was trying to say something, but there seems to be some lag from China. I just wondered, and since we don't have the text of the motion, it might be difficult to answer. Since we did open a comment period and since there were comments, then whatever the actual text of the motion we're voting on today, somewhere in the whereas clauses should be a reference that the comment period was open, comments were received and considered by the council.
Yeah, that's a good point, which needs to be made as a friendly amendment if we want to include it in the motion. Would you be able
to do
that?
And I'm happy to make it. And I'm happy to make it as a friendly amendment. Do I need to come out of language right this second?
Well, yes, you would actually, because if we're going to vote on that, person making the motion, Edmund, and seconding it, Rafiq, need to be able to accept your amendment as friendly.
Okay, good. I'm just concerned about process here, especially given the concerns expressed by Jeff and others. So I think maybe we could have an additional whereas clause that says, whereas a 21-day public comment period was opened, public comments were received and considered by the council.
Marika, did you get that?
I sort of got it, but if we're working on the basis of the motion that's on the screen, it still has the result of the 20-day public comment period on there. So shouldn't that be taken out?
You should be working on the original motion.
But the one of the 10th of June is this one. I went back. The original motion is the one, I think, that was there from May. I found one from 20th of May that was more... One on the screen?
We lost you halfway through that sentence.
The motion that's on the screen is the one of 10th of June. There is a more abbreviated version that is from the 20 May meeting. I can pull that one up to see if that is the one that people want to...
That one was amended.
Yes, so that one was amended to include the 21-day public comment period. So my question is... The amended motion is the one that's on the screen now.
No, the amendment didn't include the 21-day comment period. That's different action.
Could someone send me the language of the last
one,
really, and I'm happy to put it up?
We really need to fight. Sorry.
This is Edmund. It's really quite simple. All that is needed is what is on the wiki right now, but take away the first two bullets of the resolved part, and then basically change the whether or not to send the letter.
So if we include Mary's proposed friendly amendment in that, you'd add a first bullet saying there'd been a public comment period, which I will ask you and Rafiq to agree to in a minute. And then we would remove ICANN staff prepare a summary and just keep the final bullet, GNSO Council takes action. That would become GNSO Council agrees to send the letter.
Correct.
Yes?
Yep.
Edmund? Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Good. Do you agree, do you accept Mary's amendment as friendly?
Yes, I accept it as friendly.
Is Rafiq on the call?
Yes, yeah, I accept the amendment.
Okay, so we can thank you very much for doing that, both of you. So we... Is that something that, Marika, you can do?
This is Marika. I think I've captured it on the Adobe Connect. I think lost the last bit of Mary's amendment. What I have now is, under the whereas, the last bullet is now a 20-day public comment period was held. I think there was something more to it.
Just was held.
It was.
Yeah, go on, Mary.
I think I said that was held, comments were received. Public comment period was held. and comments were received and considered by the council.
Okay. While we're giving...
And it should be a 21-day rather than 20-day.
Yeah, absolutely. And received and considered by the council, full stop, or semicolon. Marika? Yeah, thanks. So that's it. It may be helpful for you to read the motion again, Edmund, with so many changes, just before we do take that vote. Would you mind doing so?
Sure, not a problem. Whereas the draft applicant guidebook version 4, I guess, is really what it should be now, does not include an extended review option for strings that fail the initial evaluation for confusingly similarity and likelihood to confuse. The GNSO Council recognizes that time is of the essence in sending feedback to ICANN staff on the draft applicant guidebook. The IDNG drafting team established by the GNSO Council has circumstances where applicants for strings that may be designated as confusingly similar in the initial evaluation may be able to present a case showing that the string is not detrimentally similar to another string. The GNSO Council, in recognition number 2 on the GNSO final report on the introduction of new GWs in September 2007, intended to prevent confusing and detrimental similarity and not similarity that could serve the users of the Internet. A 21-day public comment period was held. Comments were received and considered by the Council. Resolved that the GNSO Council takes action in its meeting of July 15th, 2010, to send the letter.
Okay, thank you very much.
Letter.
Yeah, I don't think we need to read that again. Can we just get the version 3 in the first bullet point of the whereas clauses to change to version 4? Marika, is that something you can do? Thank you very much. Okay.
This is Marika. Can I have one more question? Because I do recall that there were some changes, I think, to the letter itself in Brussels.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if they're captured here.
That's a good question. Thank you. Does Chuck or Edmund, do you know if this is the latest version of the letter that we're seeing now on the Adobe?
I believe it is.
Hmm. Yes.
Okay. In that case, please let's get on with the vote. Glenn, could you do that?
I will call the vote, and this is in random order. Debbie Hughes, are you for or against the motion?
Oh, we suggested a voice vote, Glenn.
Oh, so you don't want a roll call vote?
Well, I'm all happy with both, but I think it's simpler if we just... Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
All those in favour of the motion, please say aye.
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 All those against the motion, please say nay. Are there any abstentions?
I would like to abstain. Jamie Wagner.
Jamie is abstaining. Could you please give us your reason for abstaining, Jamie?
Because there were some very strong discussions in our ISCCT constituency, and even if I am personally in favor, I think there is some. It's not acceptable, but there is some concern about the needs, and I was not able to show everybody. So I think it would be better for me to abstain in order to not impose my personal opinions on my constituency.
Thank you very much, Jamie. So, except for one abstention, the motion passes unanimously in the contracted party house and in the non-contracted party house with one abstention. Thank you. Stefan?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Glenn. Thanks to Chuck, Edmund, Mary, and others for working through this with us. Sorry for the confusion, and Chuck, it's back to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stefan. Sorry to put you through that. I apologize for not catching that on the motion. That's a detail I missed, so I'll take responsibility for that. Going to item 8 in the agenda, drafting team for the draft DNS CERT SSR working group charter. Just, you know, we've got a list of volunteers. You can see them in the agenda. As far as a status report, Krista Spain, chair of the CCNSO, said that he was going to ask Bart to take a first crack at a charter and get back to me. I have not heard back from Chris yet. I will follow up with him if I don't hear from him in the next few days. Any questions, comments? Then going on to item 9, the audio casting of council meetings. That hopefully is going on right now. Hopefully everyone saw the information that Marika sent around on COVID and methods. Marika, would you like to comment on that at all?
Yes, this is Marika. Just to confirm, indeed, that the audio cast is on, and we actually currently have 5 members of the community listening to the audio cast, I think amongst which 3 are staff, but we do realize that the notice was sent out at a relatively late state. Yes, please go ahead. Did you want to say something, Chuck?
No, that wasn't me. I'm not sure who that was. So I would encourage that those that did participate, I think we can continue the trial at our next meeting with more advanced notice would be a good idea.
That is indeed the idea, and based on the initial feedback, as we had several staff members listening into the audio cast, it seems that the audio quality is good and it's easy to use. So from that perspective, I think from the trial perspective, I think it's working well, and we indeed hope to have be able to announce it further ahead of time for the next meeting, so we'll have more people participating in the audio cast.
Now,
and if there are any other questions on either of the other options outlined in the email, I'm happy to try to answer those.
Okay. Wendy.
Thank you, Marika, for arranging this on short notice. I've heard from some participants on Twitter and Skype that it's working well for them. So despite the poor timing in the North American region, we do have some people I've heard from who are listening. Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy. That's good feedback. Adrian.
I was going to say something similar to Wendy, but I will point out that was a person, not some people, as Wendy and I were talking to the same Twitter person. One person is indeed listening, and they did provide feedback that it was clear. Anyone that is... thanks, Wendy, and another on Skype. That's 2. I would be interested to hear the feedback of those that are listening for that last motion debacle. what an interesting way to hear your first audio cast. Anyway, welcome to the GNSO Council.
I was thinking the same thing, Adrian, and again, I'll take responsibility for that because didn't catch the motion thing in advance. So, apologies again for that. Marika, in terms of costs, this particular methodology, I think, was one or maybe the most cost-effective. Is that right?
That's correct. The main cost involved in this method is basically the development time, for which I would like to thank our RT staff support, and especially Corey, who's actually as well up in the middle of the night to make sure that this first run is working well. So it basically involves the initial development of the software program to link the phone bridge to the website. But following that, it just requires indeed a phone line that needs to be linked, and the cost is only then the phone line. So it's the initial startup cost, but after that it should be just the cost of the phone line, basically, and the cost of a person dialing in and making the operator making sure that it's linked, which should be relatively limited.
Thank you. Adrian, do you have your hand still up?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to I sent a note to the list. I hope this is an appropriate time to talk about it, Chuck.
Sure.
And that was just to ensure that there are measures in place to determine success of this. Once again, let me just start off for all those folks that are going to come back and slap me around the back of the head. I am, of course, all about transparency, and I understand the need for our folks to participate on the GNSO Council. All I'm merely doing is trying to look at the value of the efforts here and ensuring that that we are delivering on that value, especially when costs, direct costs are involved on behalf of ICANN. So to that end, I just wanted to know, so if we only ever get one person dialing in a worst-case scenario, is this something that we would continue to do? Would we then just, effectively, I guess what I'm asking for, what are the success criteria for this in order to keep going, or are there any? And there may well be that there aren't any, and we're just saying that this will be the way it's going to be going forward, irrespective of participation.
Just now, based on what Marika just said, Adrian, it sounds like the ongoing costs are minuscule, if any, once it's been set up. Now, there may be... is that correct, Marika?
Yes, correct. It's the cost of the phone line, basically.
Okay, so it would be good. Adrian's point is well taken. It would be good to, if we could get an estimate of what that cost of the phone line is, if that can be determined before our by our next meeting, that would be excellent, so that we can follow up on what Adrian's suggesting.
And for those, Chuck, if I may interrupt, for those that are listening, it would be great if you could maybe contact your appropriate stakeholder group and provide feedback as to whether you felt it was beneficial to have the immediate, live, I'll say live even though it's only momentarily delayed, broadcast of this or audio cast of this as opposed to listening to an MP3 that you could speed through and listen to little bits, although you could still do that, of course, do both. But just some feedback on what they thought of the audio cast would be good.
Yeah, that's good. Now, can we identify, I'm not asking for this to be done in the meeting, but can we identify who dialed in and send them a message asking Adrian's questions, because that would be excellent feedback.
Yeah, I tweeted out that I used my Twitter account, Chuck, to let everyone know that the AudioCast was starting to do some advertising for this, and Michaeli Nalon was one that responded and said that he could hear loud and clear. And I know that Jeff Newman also dialed in whilst doing his washing or getting his kids ready for school or something.
Okay, good. All right. Stefan.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. I just wanted to pick up Adrian's earlier point. I think it is also a good example or a good illustration for those people listening in of just how much work goes into preparing these meetings and the work that goes in handled by yourself as chair to prepare the agenda. Sometimes things do get missed, and I think even when they do, the council, as it's just shown, is able to take that up and carry on and come to a good result. So I think it's an important thing to point out if there are people discovering the council process for the first time today.
Thank you, Stefan. Wendy.
Yes, just to add to the record, Aubrey Doria has been Skyping with the NCSG counselors while listening to the stream, and reports that it's been helpful to be able to converse with us in real time about these fascinating issues. But more seriously, with longer advance warning, I think we would get several NCSG members able to hear more of what council does and give assistance during the calls.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy. That's excellent feedback. Let's jump on to item 10, our last item, and try and wrap up close to on time. Item 10.1 is the Standing Committee to Monitor GNSO Improvement Implementation. That was part of the recommendation we approved in Brussels for the Communications and Coordination Work Team of the OSC. We don't really have time without going over to cover that, so if there are no objections, I will defer that until our next meeting. We do have recommendations that are being implemented right now, so I think the need for that exists right now, even though all the recommendations aren't done yet. So we'll look at that in the next meeting if there are no objections. Now, Stefan, did you still have your hand up?
Oops, sorry, that's a mistake.
That's okay. We all do it. And then item 10.2, this is just a reminder. Keep in mind that that I'm termed out, we will have to have a new counselor next time. We might have had, new chair next time, and it might have been new anyway. So the sooner that stakeholder groups and constituencies can have any elections of council reps and cases where terms are expiring, and there's a link there to a list of just those whose terms expire coming up in December. So please be familiar with that. The extent that you can take steps to make sure that your council representatives elections happen early so that we know whether or not what councilors are eligible for council and council chair and vice chair can be handled in a timely manner. So that's just a reminder. Please, if you haven't already started working on that process internally, please do so. And then last of all, just a note that after this meeting, the status updates that we've been doing separately from the chairs and the liaisons will be handled on the GNSO project status list that's on the GNSO homepage. So just to let you know that. I think that brings us to a close of our agenda, unless anyone has anything else.
Yes, Chuck, well, it's Wolf speaking. Just a last question, if I may.
Go ahead.
Coming back to the AOC applications, well, as I remember, the GNSO was allocated, I think, two seats for the security and stability team, and the other one was four. Or is there still an ongoing discussion about the number of seats with regard to the security and stability review team?
Very, very good question. What you described is the last thing I saw. I haven't seen any ongoing discussion on that on the SOAC chairs list. But with the change from Giannis to Heather as chair of the GAC, I don't know whether that's finalized or not. Okay, but you summed it up correctly. The last position was two GNSO reps on the SSR review team and four on the WHOIS review team.
But you know, it would be very important for the SGs to know the very last status. If that is still open, or it may vary between four or two, though that's very important for the internal discussions of CSGs to know.
Thanks. In the minutes, please give me an action item, Glenn, to follow up with Heather and with Rod in that regard.
I'll do that, Chuck.
Anything else? Thanks, Wolf. That was helpful. All right. I now adjourn the meeting. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Bye.